We're back with the Danger Room's 24 Days of Christmas. This year, we're doing one episode per affiliation, each with its own special guest. We made an effort this year to bring in some guests from all over the world. Sit back, listen, and Merry Christmas.
Hello, and welcome to another Christmas episode of the Danger Room. With me, I have Cathal. How you doing? And introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hello, I'm Red Cahill. On Discord, my name's Cahill Redmond. In real life, hence the name. I'm pretty good. I'm excited to talk about Weapon X, a faction I have not played in quite a while.
In case anybody doesn't know, Weapon X is not very popular. And there is a man, I think he's a man, in South Africa that is number one on Longshanks. And I tried really hard to get in contact with him, but I couldn't. Not to knock. How do you say your name exactly?
So here's how I explain my name to non-Irish people, because it's basically everyone in the world. The Irish alphabet's very different, and it's, you know. Anyway, so you think about alcohol, and you just take away the al, and Cahill is, you know, pretty close. You just change it to A, and then it's Cahill. Ignore the T.
Oh, okay, Cahill. Cahill. Okay, there we go. So Cahill's here. He's going to talk about some Weapon X. So I guess we could start with what's in your 10.
Yeah, so when Weapon X came out, I was super excited, very happy to experiment with them. At the time, I was playing a lot of X-Men, and they felt like a natural kind of segue into X-Men when you were playing on those brawlier scenarios. This was when Cable and both Cyclops weren't really attractive options, but I still wanted something for like Intrusions or Fisk or something where I was going to have to fight. And even on some scenarios where the points didn't quite add up or like the extracts were weird, they were still a good option, especially if I thought I'd be fighting more. And so at the time they were mostly integrated into my X-Men list. But then after a couple of months of playing them, I was like, no one's claimed the top spot on Longshanks. And I've chased a couple of those badges. I'm sure a lot of people have. So I ended up playing Weapon X for about 3 months at the start of the year from like I was playing them with X-Men up until about March, so like the games were about 50-50. And I noticed that I'd gotten onto the list but hadn't actually claimed it yet, so then I ended up playing just Weapon X for quite a while. And my list ended up being Domino, Honey Badger, Logan, Mystique, Psylocke, Pyro, Red Skull, Master of Hydra, Sabretooth, Apex, Spider-Woman, and X-23, with the tactics cards of the Leadership, Brace, Deception, Dossier, Gotta Get Some Air, No Matter the Cost, Patch Up, Psionic Constructs, Pyrotechnics, and Exceptional Healing. This is now illegal because there's three restricted cards in there, but at the time that was fine. And then we had Demons, Intrusions, and Mare Fisk, and then Alien Ship, Research Station, and Struggle for the Cube. So basically what's changed is Deadpool has gotten good. Deception has been restricted. So Mystique has come out. Psylocke has come out, Spider-Woman's come out, Deadpool's back in, Ultron is in. He kind of replaces Red Skull with the grunts, because I always felt like Red Skull was just a little bit too fragile anyway. But you do need that extra board presence when you're going to be a bit more narrow. Pyro's still there, and then we have Dr. Voodoo and Cosmic Ghost Rider.
I guess the playstyle of Weapon X is really punchy, right? You definitely want to like get in people's faces. Like we have Intrusions, Mare Fisk, which makes a lot of sense. Logan's immune to stun.
Yeah, I always feel pretty awkward about Mare Fisk because Logan is immune to stun. And there's a bunch of characters in there that don't mind being in the middle of it. And like Domino and now Deadpool, they get their power, you know, in generally one increments anyway. So they don't mind being stunned. But Apex really, really hates being stunned. So it's always a bit awkward because you want to play him, but can you?
So I guess we could rewind back to the potential leaders of Weapon X. So Weapon X, you can run with either Logan or X-23. Or if you're a crazy person, you can run an unaffiliated leader with Wolverine.
Does that actually work? I know it does say James Logan Howlett, but like, is that legal? I've never really understood it.
There it is. Yeah, there's a forum post that says you can play original Wolverine as a Weapon X leader, and he is still unaffiliated. So he can't even use his own leadership.
Wow. Can't even use the leadership. That is insane. Yeah, so needless to say, I've never done that. My thought process on the leader is you should almost always play Laura as your leader. She's a much more unappealing target. Even her weak defense is still better than Logan's weak defense. And you really want Logan to be in the mix, getting as much value as you can out of the four threat. Whereas if your three threat just holds an extract and sits on the back point, that's fine. So I pretty much always play X23 as the leader if she's on the table.
Very cool. I think that the statistics actually back that up. I think X23 has a higher win rate as a leader.
She has a much higher win rate. And like, given the fact that it doesn't change anything, it's amazing the difference. It's like 40% or something. Because even if he did die, right, you're not losing too terribly much. Like, the leadership is fine and probably better on the table than it reads as well. So all the healing characters by themselves are resistant to spikes because of exceptional healing. So the way to often deal with them is chip damage. Just put in one damage, whatever. This also makes the chip damage very unappealing, because if you're going into them with just a 5-dice attack and suddenly they're rolling 6 defense dice and potentially can advance towards you, it's bad. Because the advance is the best thing of that leadership, not avoiding the damage, because you're probably healing it anyway.
Yeah, that's been my experience. I mean, I think their leadership is actually pretty decent. The biggest gripe is that it's affiliated models only.
Yeah, and that's why I think whenever I've been playing just Weapon X, I've always tried to just keep it at one splash and like keep it at one scary splash, so that people often have to make a tough decision of whether they want to just go for, in this case, Cosmic Ghost Rider, before it was Red Skull. Whether you want to just go after them, or do you want to go after the characters that are actually punching you, it makes it a tough call.
People have played Logan forever. Logan's like a top splash character, I think. I don't know if there's a whole lot to say about Logan. You kind of just send him off as a missile and he just goes and kills things.
Yeah, you just stick him on a side, expect to win that side, despite the fact that you really shouldn't. Yeah, he's a great character.
Yeah, he's kind of just the 1v2 god. And then talked about X23. I love X23. She's probably slightly overtuned for a 3-threat, but she's great.
Oh, absolutely. I think she's my favorite character. There's just so many times where she just pops off at the right moment and just kills 3 characters. And you're like, oh, you've just won me the game. Excellent.
Yeah. And then Apex is the other big dog here. Apex is really good. Obviously, people want to feed him power generally with Magneto or, you know, Black Bolt or something, but I think in Weapon X, he doesn't have access to that. And I have found Pyro. When everyone was playing Pyro, my Apex was getting firewalled, and it was very frustrating.
Yeah, I can see that. In this list, because it doesn't have a save grab, that's often Apex's job, in that he just grabs the least dangerous point and says, come at me, because there's no worse character to leave on one. I mean, maybe original Wolverine now, because he can just make such good use of his power when he gets it. Yeah, so he's the save grab, but yeah, that's how he gets his power in this list, I think.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I've played against some Weapon X locally. There's a guy here, and he did exactly that. He just ran Sabretooth into the middle paranoia, and he was like, better hope you kill me.
And this is it. In fact, you're probably just better off leaving him alone most of the time. Or displacing him. He really hates it. Displacement and stun.
Yeah, because if you just don't shoot him, then he has one power at the top of the round, and it's like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. He's really hoping that builder gets him a bunch of power. Otherwise, his train doesn't start rolling.
And then we got Domino. Another also great 3-threat, as X-Men players. I've been playing her forever. X-Force plays her. She's basically played in all of her factions.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Domino, she's just great. Her damage potential is super high. Not a lot to say.
She's sleeper good with the leadership, too.
Yeah, exactly. Because she's tanky, question mark. I mean, it's very dice dependent, but like, if she's got a bunch of power and she's rolling 5 dice and 2 of them turn out to be skulls, one turns out to be a block, you're like, yeah, money.
Obviously, the opponent can't roll crits in. So, and then you got Honey Badger here. Honey Badger, I have a love-hate relationship with Honey Badger. She's like fine, but I don't know. Tell me about Honey Badger.
I love Honey Badger. Anytime I can run Honey Badger and X23 together, I'm just super happy. And this, you know, faction really encourages it. I think generally my plan is to run both of the affiliated fours, X23 and Honey Badger, as a 13 if I can. Now, very often the scenario is a little bit too wide, and sometimes you want that scoring model. And Honey Badger obviously doesn't do that, but when she's tanking hits for X23, bringing X23 into the fight, when very often I want to keep X23 a little bit safer because she's my leader, but getting the free move means she can often build her and then spend her back to where she was. Or, yeah, I just really love Honey Badger and X-23 as a pair. Kind of like Rocket and Groot, which is, I guess, the design intent behind them. And, yeah, I've loved them since they've came out. They've always been staples for me.
Yeah, Honey Badger, the Little Sis Big Sis thing definitely catches people out. I just think people don't play the pair together very much, and it's not in most players' muscle memory.
Yeah, it's kind of fallen out of vogue. When I got really into playing X-Men, they were like the latest release, them and like Rogue and Gambit, I think. And I was just, you know, they were part of my core for a very long time. And like, I would start with Storm, X-23, Honey Badger, and just kind of go from there. You know, as the roster's kind of rounded out, that's become a little bit less the go-to move for a lot of X-Men players, and me included. But like, for quite a while, that was what I did. Very useful and very fun.
And then we have a renaissance with Deadpool.
Yeah, he's just gotten so much better.
Yeah, I said this on a different episode, but Deaton played Deadpool at WTC, and he was like, yeah, Deadpool's like my best three threat.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of has that Winter Soldier energy now, where he is maybe making four shots a turn with, I mean, the karate rerolls really help that. And then you just need a little bit of extra somewhere else. So I'm not sure if he's the best in Weapon X, but having us, you know, a kind of niche is having that range four attack and a place is really good to have in an affiliation. And I'm super happy that he is affiliated now. If I was to play Weapon X, he'd definitely be slam dunk in there. And I think he helps on like some of the wider scenarios, not necessarily the Ds, but like the B shapes, you know, someone to hold aside. When a lot of this affiliation is all about press, it's good to have someone that can kind of sit back.
Yeah, Deadpool, he's better at sitting back than Domino. Domino also can't really do that. He's got the gun.
Yeah, because then you're like, do I just throw a grenade or do I move and double tap? And even then, can I be on the point and double tap? Yeah, very often Domino's a little bit sad in factions that don't offer her that extra mobility. And this faction kind of does with the aggressive move, but it's super dicey, so... yeah, Deadpool is definitely better for that.
And then some splash characters, we have Pyro. Is this just for Firewall or anything else?
So the Incinerate obviously helps with like the attrition play. I think in this kind of era of Marvel, you definitely want to steal. And I find pyrotechnics is very underrated in how useful it is. I think, you know, of the tactics card steals, it is my favorite just because it offers the additional utility. So obviously This Is a Robbery is an amazing card. It's got a throw and it's got a super low entry cost because Rhino builds Pyro so well. But Pyro's one can move more people and can make people drop more things. So even if you're only getting the one extract, Rhino's, you know, he's spending three power to pick up an extract, throw someone. That's great. If Pyro's spending three power, he's often moving two people and picking up an extract. He could be moving three people and just not picking up the extract. Like the floor of This Is Robbery is super high because it's always good, but the ceiling is capped as well. Whereas pyrotechnics, I've moved a whole team on Gamma. Like that's just not something that Rhino can do. So this is my favorite steel tactics card for that reason. Now, again, you got to temper that by a lot of the meta pieces are now immune to incinerate. So, you know, your mileage may vary, but I still like Pyro for that reason alone.
Yeah, a good pyrotechnics can be backbreaking. It is tricky to pull off, though. And then we have Voodoo, probably just in vain of your must-have-a-steal philosophy.
Yeah, must-have-a-steal, and I think also you probably should have a Mystic attack in a roster. And I think, you know, the change to Voodoo obviously made him worse at the whole you-don't-play scenario now, but the throw getting added to his spender was great, so... yeah, he's a good attrition option with a steal.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's who is builder, but yes.
Yeah, sorry. I said spender. Yeah, builder. His spender is awesome as well.
Yeah. No, both of Voodoo's attacks are great. It's just he's slightly harder for him to defend himself now. And it is he just like can't stop secure interactions anymore. So
yeah, exactly. But that's probably for the best.
Yeah, he was just straight broken before. I've played against him a few times and he feels fine. Still useful, not broken. So, and then we've got Ultron. Ultron's here. I love Ultron. Other people love Ultron. He's probably like the most talked about core box model right now, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Him or maybe Red Skull. I'm hearing a lot of things about Red Skull and that leadership being really good. it's not worked out for me yet, but yeah, I think Ultron is amazing. I think he takes that grunt model spot away from Red Skull for now. I'm still kind of debating it because I really like the scoring that the Hydro Grunts offered, but I think the utility that Red Skull or that Ultron offers over Red Skull is a lot higher because he's got the throw, he's got the advance, he can't be advanced. It's, yeah. And the tactics card, the Age of Ultron, the fact that it means he's very, very hard to permanently remove. He's just, yeah, he's real good.
Yeah, I find Ultron is really good into the teams that want to just brawl you up the middle. They can't really fight him. So they're just like hoping that he doesn't just spike it ever.
Yeah, the only difficulty I found is when he gets to his backside, if, you know, they do decide to fight him, you are kind of more limited in what you want to do with him, because obviously he's got so much good stuff on his card that you want to be spending power on. But you're like, okay, will I have the 8 power for Age of Ultron if I throw or if I do a spender? And you can like, yeah, that can be a little bit rough because it can be a little bit limiting, especially if you're coming into, okay, can I win the game if this spender does that? But then you could lose your 5 threat model with the grunt, and you know, it's fine. But yeah, he's real good, and he's ahead of Red Skull by hair by now. For now.
Yeah. And then last, we've got the man, the myth, he who shall not be named, Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Yeah, like I was saying, I kind of like having the 2/4s, X-23, and Honey Badger, because I think those all go really well together. And two of my crises are 19 threat, and it's either him or Hulk. And I think Hulk does a lot of work, but the leadership does absolutely nothing for him. And I think if you have Hulk in your list, you want to be able to protect him. And other than patch up, this list is nothing for him. CGR is like a big threat that people, like, you can focus him down, but he's so mobile that very often he kills whatever is around him and then moves away. So he just does the job a little better than Hulk. And this team wins by fighting you, so.
Yeah, I mean, CGR also, even though he doesn't score, he impacts scoring by a lot.
Yeah, and that's part of it as well. By stopping someone scoring, you're slowing the game down for them, and he does that very well.
There's not really much to say about him that hasn't already been said in any community. But I do understand the pick over Hulk. I don't think Hulk really fits in here that well.
No, and it's a real shame because there's this really cool 3D print. I don't know which studio did it, so I can't really give credit. But I've got a really cool 3D print of Weapon H, which is Hulk crossed with Wolverine, and it just fits so well in this roster. But so I played that a couple of times, and then I just found that Hulk would get murdered, and I'd be a little bit sad. And you know, the leadership just does nothing.
Hulk is definitely the more thematic pick.
Oh, super more flavorful, especially that sculpt. But like, yeah.
And then we've got the leadership. Are you sure you want to remember? We talked about how we put this on X-23. It can only be used on affiliated models, but you're probably playing this every game, right?
Yeah, I've seen some people say that you don't have to bring it. I've found that it is, you know, if you said this tactics card gives you 2 additional defense dice, you know, in perpetuity. Now, admittedly, it's not usually in perpetuity, but there's generally enough people getting days that you can use it on all the important attacks. And here's my tip. Always use it once. Because, like, the first attack, just use it. Because if someone gets dazed and you get a token back, but you're not getting a token back, it's just the worst feeling because you're only getting so much limited use out of this leadership anyway. You may as well always spend the one at least.
Yeah, probably hanging around with, like, 1 to 2 tokens is a good idea, just so you can always gain them. But yeah, in my experience, the leadership reads a lot worse than it is. Yeah, it's kind of like Claw's leadership in that way, or many other things in this game.
Yeah, I've heard some cool things about Claw. I still haven't played either with him or against him, but I'm looking forward to it. And if anyone wants to play Claw against me, just hit me up. It sounds fun.
Simon did the Syndicate episode of this, and he was all about Claw. So if you're interested in Claw, you should listen to that.
Yeah, no, I was talking to him recently. We were playing a game in one of Pastrami's leagues, and he was talking about it, and I was hyped.
But yeah, like, the leadership reads better than it plays better than it reads. But yeah, I still really wish it worked on affiliated models, or I'm sorry, at all models, because it's already a tactics card. Just like, it's like my favorite joke is like, what if Emma's leadership only worked on affiliated models? Oh, wait.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, I mean, Emma and Convocation work on unaffiliated models. it seemed for some reason Corvus and Weapon X don't. I don't really get it.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of variation between these tactics card leaderships. I feel like, you know, you'd be hitting one or buffing others if you decided to make them all work the same. So I understand why they don't work the same, but at the same time, I'm still very jealous of Convocation anytime I'm playing Weapon X. The tactics card space is just so tight in this team.
And then another affiliated card here is Dossier. I freaking love the design of Dossier. I've played against it a bunch, and I don't think my opponent has ever gotten value out of it. So, like, I don't know. Are you able to get value out of it?
You can, and it's... But it really requires your opponent to play badly. Because, so, I've played it a bunch, obviously. I always play with Sabretooth, because he's the only character who can play it that doesn't have native rerolls. And then very often, depending on the scenario, of course, I just, like, run Sabretooth at whoever it is, especially if I think he can kill them. But, like, there's so much counterplay. Like, you put it on Black Cat, you put it on Medusa, and you're just like, well, this sucks. And then very often, by the time you've gotten the Dossier just through however, you know, with the game has worked out, you're either winning or it's over because it's, you know, it's turn three and you're, you know, 12 points behind because attrition hasn't worked out for you, or you almost tabled them and yay, I've got a long move now and two extra dice, but he's got one more model and it's over there. I'm like, eh. But it's still a very fun card. I really do like the design on it, like you said.
I've had games where, like, people played into me and I just put on my shield grunts and then it's just like a disaster for them. Yeah, listeners, you can put it on your own grunts if your opponent plays Dossier into you. It can be pretty good.
I think the best case scenario for this card is when you come against a tall team and you're like, you know, you've got no model that you don't want to get hit.
Yeah, yes, that is. So that's my next question. Is this card feels a lot like Sinister Traps in the way where you could play it into the wrong thing and it's terrible. So my question is, what are you looking for in your opponent's list that you're like, I'll play Dossier this game?
So it's very often I'm looking for characters that don't deny rerolls. So if Black Cat or Medusa are there, I just don't play it. I've gotten burnt on that too many times. And then if I think they're going to be playing taller than me, I think it's pretty good because one of those characters, Sabretooth, is just going to maul. And that's great. And ideally, Sabretooth isn't usually the one I want picking it up. I kind of want Domino to pick it up because that's insane. Or Deadpool. But also, even on those teams that are wide, it's not the worst pick. So if I think it's a team full of squishies, like Web Warriors, if they're not bringing Black Cat for some reason, like if I think it's Researcher and they're just not going to bring her, even then as a stagger bot now, she's really good. But like in those sorts of scenarios, I'll bring it. But it really depends on the other tactics cards. I think it's a fine affiliated tactics card to always have the option of. And I don't think it's ever awful, except for those scenarios I previously outlined where they deny your rerolls. But it's kind of very often the sixth or seventh card on the list.
If you have brought it and then they put on somebody, do you find yourself just running Sabretooth at that character? Or do you still like play the game as normal and then if the opportunity comes up, you take it?
Well, as I said before, Apex is my safe grab. So obviously he's got a different job to do most of the time. No, unless it's, you know, Researcher or something where you can ignore the extract game, Apex will still do his job and we'll just see what comes up naturally. Although I'll probably, you know, maybe favor the side that this model's on. Like I'll aim Sabretooth that general direction, but his play pattern doesn't change too much because honestly, any affiliated character picks it up, it's great for them.
And then we've also got to get some air. This is the Logan card where he can move. I guess, when are you bringing this card? I know it's a good card. It's hard to fit in the five.
No, I think it actually does get in the five quite a lot, especially if you're bringing the grunt character, because a very good use of the grunt's first action is just to walk behind Logan. So Logan's a middle medium move up. Honey Badger can sometimes do that job because very often what she's doing is just moving to be within three of X23 at the start and saying, do you want to hit this model I've put out there for you to hit? No one takes that bait anymore. People have learned their lesson. But yeah, no, got to get some air is great. It's also got some good tech against, like, if you have an extract on Logan and Rhino comes and hits you to rob you, he just moves away. There's some cute stuff like that, but like there is a ton of tactics card pressure in this list, as we've talked about. So it is, you know, it's kind of like Dossier in the fact that it's always good. It's got some better situations depending on your team lineup or the crisis, but or your what you think your opponent is going to bring. But yeah, no, it's one of those always good, but you may not always bring it.
And then we've got Pyrotechnics, which we talked briefly about. We also talked about Age of Ultron, which is Ultron's card. Exceptional Healing is just a staple in this list. It's probably just every game.
Yeah, every game. I there's never a reason not to bring this card.
Yeah, it's a staple in lists that have less healing factor models. So
yeah, if you're bringing one, it's amazing. If you're bringing, you know, 3 to 4, I've heard arguments that it actually becomes worse, but I'm not so sure about that. I feel like it's better just because you'll have more opportunities to use it.
Yeah, I think it's just worse in the capacity that you could make a mistake. It's very hard to make a mistake if only one of your models is healing factor. But yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's objectively worse. And then we've got Brayson Patchup, which we didn't talk about restricted cards. I mean, I feel like you're not going to play R&D. You don't have Mystique. So it's like these two are Deception. Or sorry, not Deception. Sacrifice.
I mean, there's Disarm. I say that having played like, you know, a couple of timeline leagues recently, and both me and my opponent were stuck with Disarm in that like third list. But yeah, no, Brace and Patchup are just the ones that make sense. I think you can probably play games without Patchup if you feel that your opponent isn't going to be punching that high. I think I always bring Brace just because so many of the characters are size 3 or count as size 3 that you're probably going to be thrown into each other and it's going to hurt. So, you know, just bring the Brace. But Patchup, I can take it or leave it. It's generally better if you're taking Apex or Ultron because they get more value out of it. Everyone else is unlikely to get the full value out of it, although I guess Logan could. But yeah, those are the choices. Sacrifice is also a consideration, but I find that the dice are so spiky that I never feel safe playing Sacrifice. Like I've had opponents saying, aha, you're, you know, I'm now redirecting my attack into this model that you haven't hit at all. I'm like, yep, that's good for you. And then that model gets one shot and they're like, oh no, my entire plan. I'm like, I never want to be put in that position.
Yeah, Sacrifice takes some time to get used to. But yeah, I like Patchup here. See, it's really insane if you can get a big Patchup on Apex, like if your opponent was attacking him for some reason.
Yeah, he's the worst model to like leave on one for a multitude of reasons.
And then we've got No Matter the Cost, which a lot of the healing factor models like No Matter the Cost. Obviously, they heal the damage. They have spenders that give them mobility.
Yeah, I mean, X-23 is the obvious one. Like, hers just works on a first turn basis. She just moves 6 dice with Pierce and a reroll. It's amazing. So many times I've just one-shot a character and then moved on to their point. But, like, same thing for Apex. Very rarely on Logan, but, like, it's an option. It's just, it's such a versatile card. I really love the design around it. It makes a ton of sense. Even with characters that don't heal, like it's still a very worthy consideration for so many characters. It's one of my favorite cards.
Yeah, even Cosmic Ghost Rider here, right? No matter the costing into a spender.
Yeah, getting that spender. Yeah, Cosmic Ghost Rider doesn't need health.
Not really, no. And then the last card here is Smash. Is this just like an Apex card?
It is an Apex card, but it's also a consideration for the Grunts. So there's very little in the way of terrain destruction in this list. And I was debating between this and Kick'em. But if I take Kick'em, I feel like that's 2 cards for Pyro. And there's very rarely the space for that because you're always taking the leadership. You're probably always taking your 2 restricted. And then you've got 2 cards to play with. And it's just such a tough decision that 2 cards are never going to get spent on Pyro. Oh, and you're always taking Exceptional. So like, really it's 1 card.
Oh, yeah, it's rough. And then I was going to ask about the last affiliated card that's not here, Call the Pack. Have you played it? Do you have any opinions on it?
So there were a couple of like janky things that you could do with Wong or Advanced R&D to like get your team a short move forward. And even like, I remember there were some plays like when this card got spoiled that people were like, oh, you'd play Sinister, get him all of his genetic tokens first, and then whoever heals. It's just not worth it. It's a lot of work for and power. The fact that it costs power is real rough. It just, yeah, it doesn't make it worth it. It's a really cool card, and there are plenty of great spots to use it. Like if you're healing on a researcher and suddenly your team's all around, that'd be great, but it's too corner case.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Cool. And then your secures are intrusions, Mare Fisk, which we talked about. I think those make a lot of sense. Kind of just on the center line, disincentivizes gun lines, really wants to be like melee brawling characters.
Yeah, you don't want to be getting shot and having your hoping that you roll those 5 defense dice, getting a block so that you can walk towards them. It's rough.
And then demons is here. Maybe Ghost Rider and Voodoo and Pyro help you on demons. I don't know. Sell me on demons in this list.
Yeah, demons is fine. It's not great. Again, Voodoo's that one scoring thing. But I mean, the thing about demons is people do cluster up, but just in a different way. They're all clustering around these points. And that's kind of what you want. You want to get in a fight. And it's slow because generally, you know, people are scoring 1 or 2. I don't think it's the best. I could be, you know, persuaded in a whole bunch of different areas. But that 19 thread is quite nice. It allows me to play the core 4 that I want to play, plus Cosmic Ghost Rider. And that feels fine.
Have you considered running Meteors in its place?
Yeah, I've considered Meteors. But then I don't think the team gets the best use out of its... No one's great at flipping them except for Logan. And I find Logan he's really good at the crisis. His value as an attrition piece becomes a lot worse because he's generally within 3 of someone. Whereas with demons, you can at least position him a little bit wider, or like he can go for their back point where everyone's fighting over the middle. And it's ironically easier to get the distance, whereas Deadly Meteors is a little bit harder. But yeah, it could definitely be demons as well. Or no, Deadly Meteors over demons. Both are fine choices.
And then the extracts, we have Alien Ship, Cubes, and Researcher. I think a lot of these have a theme where they're slowish, brawly. Well, I guess Cubes isn't slowish, but they do damage to you.
Yeah, it's the damage and the power as well, because like Apex doesn't care if he's getting that one damage, where he does love the power, so that really helps him. And also, yeah, healing factor just mitigates the cubes. Not as much as it did before when the damage happened in the power phase rather than the cleanup, but it's still good. Same with Alien Ship. And then Researcher is just the kind of third brawliest. I could go for hammers here. Domino's great with a hammer.
Did you find that cubes could have been more of a problem into like heavy scoring teams if like they won prio?
Yeah, for sure. I think if I see them like have a plan to get a bunch of cubes on someone, that's generally when I'd bring Pyro, because you get them to drop them all. But yeah, it can definitely be, well, Pyro or Voodoo, it can be a problem for sure. But I think the fact that generally they're taking enough damage to it outweighs it.
Is there anything that you think I missed or that's worth talking about for the listeners aspiring to play Weapon X?
Yeah, I think Weapon X are in a bit of an awkward spot at the moment, because the spot that they naturally were, or that they kind of fit into the game with, which was a splash for X-Men as the kind of brawlier side thing that doesn't require too much in the way of investment that you probably weren't spending already, is kind of gone, which is a bit of a shame, because I think they're a really fun affiliation. I think they're, you know, not bad by any means. They're definitely comparable to a lot of the other non-top tier attrition teams, but I think they're definitely better than, for example, Sentinels, who are the other team that weren't paid at all for WTC. So it was really kind of sad to see that. But yeah, no, they're a ton of fun. Definitely try them out. And I think, you know, as more mutants are released, there's bound to be more options thrown in there for them. So I think, yeah, a cool affiliation.
Yeah, I suspect they'll get more releases at some point. But yeah, they do feel a little left behind slightly. And the leadership is kind of frustrating to play around.
Yeah, it's like I said, you're generally left with one tactics card slot. And that is kind of the most awkward thing about it.
And like your splashes aren't really synergistic with your leadership in any way, which is frustrating.
No, they really don't benefit from the team at all, which is an awkward thing. I mean, it's cool that it encourages you to play more thematic teams, but is also, you know, you could just probably put Cable in and play X-Force. It's, yeah, not great either.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder if maybe you could, if you just want to go full dice, you could play like brawly centerline things, play Weapon X, and like gun line things, play X-Force.
I mean, that sounds like a fun thing. And this is something as well, even with, you know, the new more brawly mutant options, that have come out or through the errata, you can definitely throw in Weapon X to that and just complement a different kind of style. Because like you say, X-Force are now a little bit more of a gun line than they were before. Or, well, they're a better gun line than they were before. Whereas these guys still brawl maybe a little bit better. It's hard to gauge, but no reason not to try it out.
All right. Is there anything else? I think it's on you. I don't have much else. So.
Yeah, no. Weapon X are... they're an awkward one to talk about. I mean, they're still the seventh best in win percentage. I know we were talking about this earlier, so I went to look it up. The difference is less than I thought it was. So X-23 has won 55% of the games that she's been the leader. Wolverine, surprisingly, is better than Logan. He has won 53% of his games. Admittedly, that's only 19 games, you lunatics. But Logan is actually the most popular leader, and he's 50-50. So it's not as bad as I thought it was, but apparently just picking X-23 is that little bit better.
I will throw a caveat that there's probably a lot of people playing Weapon X who misinput Wolverine as their leader and not Logan.
Yeah, out of those 19 games, someone is bound to have made that mistake. So yeah, take that with a massive grain of salt.
I would argue it's probably most, if not all of them.
Probably.
I mean, geez, I just played a timeline game and for the league, and I almost misinput Steve Rogers as Core One Steve instead of First Avenger.
I think that's going to happen a ton because I was doing my podcast with Angus. That's Rapid Fire for anyone who's interested. But he was playing an event in London and I was like, oh, wow, this guy's played Steve Rogers One. That's a throwback. I was like, no, he was playing First Avenger all day. So that's definitely happened.
Yeah. Yeah, the stats get a little screwy. Cool. All right. So I'm going to ask you a couple things here that is tradition on all these episodes that I'm sure people are sick of hearing by now, but...
oh, I really should have listened to one of these episodes because I knew they were coming, but I completely forgot.
No, they're good. You don't need any prior education.
Yeah, I knew there was something coming, but I forgot all about it.
No, they're easy. So who's your most wanted character for MCP?
So I'm a big X-Men fan, and a ton of them are like coming out. Like Nightcrawler was the one that I was super psyched about for so long. And then like Kate Pryde is definitely another one. So I'm really happy with that. Those two boxes coming out. I'm a little bit sad that we're not getting like Pirate Queen Kitty from like the more recent Krakoa run. So if it's not cheating, will I say her?
I don't think that's cheating because I would argue that that version of Kitty is just a different, like, it's just a different era of Kitty, which the one that AMG is releasing is very much like the early 2000s Kitty, I would say, and or like Excalibur Kitty almost.
Yeah, that's cool as well. But like she's not the version that I've grown to love through the Marauders comics. Even though now she's turning into a ninja in the comics is also a bit weird as well. But it's a cool change.
But yeah, I think that's perfectly fine because we have multiple versions of Peter Parker and they're all different eras, right? Or at least most of them are.
Yeah, for sure. You've got Spectacular is the new teenage Spider-Man. You've got regular Spider-Man, which is I don't know what version.
I think both core box Spider-Mans are kind of the same era, but Amazing Spider-Man's like old Pete and even like Steve Rogers, right? He's got World War II version and then modern version, and Doctor Strange has the frick. I forget what run he's from where he has the scalpel, but that's Strange, and then you have original Strange. So yeah, I could see us getting a Pirate Kitty.
Yeah, you can definitely see the difference in the characters. So I, you know, hopefully one day they do come out with Pirate Queen Kitty that, you know, can actually move through terrain. That is the one thing about this version of Shadowcat that I don't know why she can't just move through terrain.
It is really weird that she doesn't have wall crawler. I would suspect they feel it's a balanced thing.
Yeah, for sure. And to be fair, I never expected X-Men to get a long mover at this stage, so it's kind of cool.
They gave her grappling hook instead, like Black Cat, so she's basically the same as Black Cat. All right, and then the last question is, Sploosh wants to know if you're team heroes or team villains.
So we're currently playing in a league in Ireland at the moment where you have to play everyone twice. I was like, how can I make that a little bit more interesting for myself? So I've got a good guys team and a bad guys team. So, but if I had to choose, I have to say good guys because I play X-Men, don't I? That's sad. Yeah. I mean, they're a little bit morally ambivalent, but yeah.
Why is that sad?
Because I've listened to a couple of these episodes and I think the good guys are winning, right? By a lot?
Oh, they're winning by a lot, yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's why.
In fact, every time Sploosh listens to an episode that comes out, he always has to DM me, yes, one more for Team Villains. I think he's only done that like two or three times now. So, okay, and then lastly, you should tell people where they can find you and what content you make.
Yeah, so I'm Red Call. I'm on almost all of the Discords under that user. So hit me up if you want to chat. And then I make a podcast with Angus Hamill. From the London B team. I don't know if they're still the London B team. They might be the C team now. They change every year. But yeah, we make a podcast called Rapid Fire, and we talk about the UK and Irish meta. So you can listen to that.
Very cool. And you guys just kind of got started with that, right? You're only like a few episodes deep, or maybe more than that, 10 episodes-ish?
Yeah, no, we have, I think, 2 episodes on Spotify now. They're going up every 2 weeks, and we've got like 2 in the bank. Because we were afraid we'd run out of things to put up if we did them all at once. So we're just taking a little bit of the pressure off ourselves that way.
Yeah, very cool. I get it. Okay, I think that's going to wrap us up. I wanted to say thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we will see you next time. Bye.